B'siyata d'ishvaya, we are going to be learning on the parashat Korach. Korach v'adato. Korach, the cousin of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the parasha that teaches us the power of the destruction of machloket, of the disagreements that we have in this world and how destructive they are. That they can even destroy whole entire families and destroy nations and destroy the worst. It's a very, very negative energy. And Korach, to his schut, is the one that taught us about how bad it is to have machloket. There's a whole entire parasha in the Torah named after him, just to teach us how destructive machloket is. It's so powerful, it can open up a hole in the ground and sink down a whole entire family, a whole bunch of people. Why? Because they opened their mouth and they wanted to fight others. So, Zat Hashem, to understand this a little bit more, we're going to learn from the Torahs of Rabbi Natan of Breslev. This is from the halachot of Ilchot Shiluach Aken, the halachas of sending away the bird and taking the eggs. It's the fourth halacha and the ninth letter. Korach, one of his claims to Moshe Rabbeinu was, Kulam Kedoshim, everyone's holy, right? Uvetocham Adonai, and Hashem is in their midst, Hashem is inside of them. Hashem is inside of them. Umadua titnaseu al kal Adonai. Why should you, Moshe Rabbeinu, put yourself above the congregation of Hashem? All of us are holy. We're all holy. We all have God in our midst. Who are you to become the leader? By the way, being said by the richest person of the generation, that went and took all the money he could, right? But it's a question, a valid question. If you want to nitpick, right? This is what we call nitpicking. We're all Jews. We all heard God talking to us. We all received the Torah. We're all a chosen nation. We're a nation of priests and a goy kadosh, a sanctified holy nation. So then who are you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to be a head over all of us? God told us we're all holy. Is he wrong saying that we're all holy? No, it's true, we're all holy. But don't start asking questions of Moshe Rabbeinu. Let's see what Reb Natan says on this pasuk, on this idea of everyone's holy, why are you putting yourself above everybody? And even before we get into it, just to say one more thing. His claim was, we're all holy, Moshe, why are you titnasu? Why are you and Aaron, your brother, putting yourselves above everybody else? He accused Moshe of putting himself up. What happened to him? He went down. We have to be careful with our mouths. Let's see what Reb Natan says. Kol ha-ta'ut shel Korach haya shemechamat gasuto nidme lo shakol shavin. Korach's problem was, his mistake was, that because of such pride, it appeared to him that everyone is equal. V'lo ratza la'amin shegam tzadikim ha-kadoshim tzichim milchama gedola im ha-yetzara shel ha-mala shu b'chinat dinim. He didn't believe that even the holy righteous tzadikim have to fight a yetzara. That they're still fighting, the righteous people are still fighting their evil inclinations and they're still fighting their bad thoughts and their questions. He didn't believe that they had to do that. He didn't believe that you have to fight with these constrictions and these judgments that are coming from the heavens. Korach had a thought that he got to. Whoever made it to the level of a tzaddik, he doesn't have to fight wars anymore. He doesn't have any inner battles. He's not going to have problems. You have to be righteous. If you get to a level where you're righteous, then you're okay. V'im ken ha'kol shavim. If that's the case, then everybody's equal. And there's no difference between Moshe and Aaron and the rest of the big tzaddikim. Don't forget, Korach came, him and 250 heads of the Sanhedrin. 250 of the holiest people in all of Am Yisrael were part of the congregation that came against Moses and Aaron, Moshe and Aaron. And Korach's claim is, you see all of us, 250 people, we're all holy, we're all righteous, we're all tzaddikim. And tzaddikim don't have to fight the Yetzirah anymore. We're all holy, God's amongst us, we have no evil inclination. So why are you, Moshe, the head of all of us? Why are you and your brother above everybody else if we're all past fighting our Yetzirah? Specifically at that time, all of Am Yisrael was on a very high level. All of Am Yisrael received the Torah. They were flying in the heavens. They were eating godly food that's coming down from the heaven. drinking water from a celestial pool that's going around in the desert with them. They have clouds protecting them. Every single Jew at that moment is a tzaddik. Who are you, Moshe Rabbeinu, to put yourself above everybody else? Ki zachu kulam nasagat nevuat panim bepanim. Everybody had a level of prophecy face to face with Hashem at the giving of the Torah. And this is what Korach said. Rav lechem ki chol ha'eda kulam kedoshim uvutocham Adonai. So much for you guys. You have enough. You and your brother, enough positions. Rav Meir Eliyahu Shlita says on this, Rav lechem. There's two brothers, Aaron and Moshe, and they were both kind of leaders, right? One was the king, Moshiach, and the other one was the Kohen Gadol. Rav Meir Eliyahu says on this, Rav lechem. One rabbi for the two. Meaning, you guys want to grab all the positions? One rabbi is enough. You don't need... This pasuk, there's enough for you guys. You have enough power. Why are you lifting yourself above everybody else? Hashem is amongst all of us. We're all holy. And he asks the question, why, Moshe, are you putting yourself up on this pedestal? Why are you the one that's the chosen leader? We all are holy. We all stood at Mount Sinai. We all heard God talking to us and revealing Himself to us. Why are you above everyone else? Everyone's on such a level that we don't have a Yetzara. Because like we said before, we learned a few weeks ago, at the time of the giving of the Torah, all of the defilement of the blemish, the pollution of the snake, left us. We were pure to the point where we don't even need to die. We had no evil inclination inside of our midst. When Adam ate from the fruit, evil became part of our reality. At the giving of the Torah, that part of us was removed and it was made external again. Meaning good and bad. Bad is an external thing from me. I can be aware of it, I can know of it, but it has nothing to do with my core. That was removed from us. It came back when we did the sin of the golden calf. But there was a time in the desert that everybody in Am Yisrael was very, very, very pure. If that's the case, how are you, Moshe and Aaron, higher than everybody else? What makes you any different? How could you have a level higher than not having an evil inclination, of not having any of the blemishes of the snake? What could be possibly higher than that? We have no yetzara, we have no evil inclination, we're all holy. But here's the point. All of this was a mistake that Korach made because of his pride. Even though the truth is that the blemish of the snake was removed from them, even though internally we had no bad inside of us, we each still have to fight a huge war with our Yetzara that's coming up above. That's Malach HaKadosh, B'chinat Gvurot Dinim. It's the holy angel, so to say, the constrictions, these tight dinim, these gvurot, this might, this limitation, these constrictions that we're seeing from up above. And the truth is that afterwards you see that people made mistakes. The golden calf, with the spies, and the way they talk about Israel, those were all holy people that didn't have bad inside of them. So how did they fall in such a thing? Because from heavens, when they show you such a powerful light in the land of Israel, but it looks like a regular country, and it looks like everything's backward, and it looks like everything's hard, all that is the Yetzara, so to say, from up above. All that is, so to say, the constrictions that Hashem needs to do in order to give you that light. Sometimes it appears here that it's backwards, sometimes it appears that it's not nice, it doesn't feel good, it's not right. That's external from you. It's from outside, but you still have to fight that battle. There's those people that they didn't mess up in the golden calf. They didn't sin and talk bad about the nation, about the land of Israel. But they still have wars. They still have battles. They still have things that they're trying to fight and get over. Korach's whole thing was, we're all holy. We all got our Yetzara removed from us. So then how are you any better? Each person has their own battles. Everyone's fighting battles. And if everybody's fighting battles, that means that everybody can't be equal. Because some people are winning in their battles and some people are not. And some people fight every single day and some people fight here and there. Some people annihilate when they go to war and some people make ceasefires. and they keep the relationship, we'll have another round soon. But for now, you're friends with me. It's okay for you to be here in my midst. They don't want complete annihilation. So then, yes, there are levels. There's differences. Without any measure, how many differences you could have. 600,000 different souls. And you're talking millions and millions of battles. Right? We each have millions of different things that we're fighting against. Every single person, how much they manage to break their higher level of Yetzara. The Yetzara comes from up above, meaning to sweeten up and to ameliorate all of the judgments. So too, you merit to that level. The more you're able to fight the war, the better of a soldier you are, the more you move up the ranks, the more you merit to have that God clarity and that power. And therefore, bevadai ein la'arich ulidamot shar bnei Yisrael af al pi shekulam kedushim keneged raglei Moshe v'Aaron. If that's the case, that we each have battles, meaning that there is still levels. Yes, our defilements have been removed, and yes, we got to high levels, but everyone still is fighting a battle. Everyone is still trying to stay connected to God, and that's not an easy thing to do. And if that's the case, then you can't compare or make any comparisons, any similarities between any Jew and the feet of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, says Rabbi Natan. None of us even come close to the dust underneath their feet. And even the most, the biggest rabbis, true tzaddikim, you have no ability to compare them to Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron merited to what they merited to, and it was levels that we could never even imagine. Like the Rambam says, the choicest human being to ever be born, that will ever be born, to ever live ever, and to ever come into existence is Moshe Rabbeinu. If that's the case, how can we take any Jew and compare them to Moshe and Aaron? Korach, a cousin who knew, was in the family and knew who Moshe and Aaron were. Pagam beze, he made a blemish on this and he said, Ki cholei da kulam kedushim, the whole nation of Israel were all holy. Uvetocham Adonai, and amongst us is Hashem. Why are you and your brother trying to be higher than the rest of the nation of Israel? Since he was a heretic against the level of Moshe and Aaron, kafar bechol haTorah shenitna al yadam. So then he, so to say, was a heretic and went against the whole entire Torah that was given by way of them. If you don't accept the person that brought down the Torah, how are you going to accept the Torah? And then he and his whole entire people, his whole entire congregation, all the people that joined him, they were all lost. And this all happened because of these things that come from above. These dinim, these thoughts, these different forces, these energies that come up from above, they're all just to test us. They're holy, holy lights. For example, it's been said that some people are struggling with anger. Person has anger aroused inside of them. So let's break it down a little bit. What happened? Person sees a certain situation, right? For example, something was not built properly and it annoys them. So then what's happening? My head observed with my face and my eyes, my organs observed a certain situation. Let's say, for example, I want to install a machine in my house. And I don't have what I need to make that happen properly. That is the situation. That's what I saw with my eyes. This machine can't fit here like I want it to be. From there, all of a sudden I start to tell a story about that. And according to the story I tell, will be the emotions that I feel. If the story is, thank God I'm in the land of Israel. Thank God I have everything else is so good. This one problem I'm not going to let affect me. So then down here you won't get angry. If the story is, this is wrong and this is wrong and nothing was done right and how did I lose my money here? And so then what's going to happen? The observation of this thing not working, paired with the story I told in my mind, well now that energy will come down into my heart and I will have an arousal of anger. This sometimes happens in a millisecond, but this is the process if you slow it down. Once that message of what I observed and the story I told about what I observed moves down into my heart, now the emotions will arouse. I have an arousal of anger come in because I'm angry, I'm upset, I don't agree to the situation that I'm experiencing right now. And I'm not able to think about Hashem. And I don't see that Hashem was the one that built the house that way, and Hashem was the one that made the machine come that way, and Hashem was the one that gave me this whole situation. And I start to put it on other people. I start to focus too much on the external reality. Now, all of a sudden, so that thing is wrong, and that person was wrong, and that person is annoying, and that person cheated me, and there's one thing that I didn't think about, God. If I'm able to retell the story before the emotion comes into my heart, that's what we're talking about here. Sometimes things come up from above, but it was an opportunity. So what's the opportunity to stay on this example of anger? When a person feels an arousal of anger inside of them, what's really happening is there's a holy light coming from up above that's coming down in a place of deen. It's coming wrapped up in an experience of anger, an emotion of anger. If I give into the anger and I fall into the anger, so then I fall into this world, I fall into the klipa, it might as well be that a hole opened up underneath my the ground underneath my feet and swallow me complete, like Korach and his people. Might as well what should happen. But if I understand that it's just a klipa, my anger is just a hint to me, a sign to me that really what's meant to be happening right now is I'm getting sent from heaven the light of Irat Shamayim, of Hashem, the ability to be scared of myself getting punished, meaning I don't want to lose my connection to Hashem, and on a higher level, I don't want to affect and disrespect the King of the world. That's what's happening when you really get angry. When you get angry, you are being presented an envelope. The envelope is called anger. It's a bad thing. If you give in to the envelope, that's bad. But inside the envelope, hidden inside of there, is the light of discipline and respect for God. If I don't get angry and I focus on what's inside, the gift that's being sent to me, then now not only am I preventing myself from being angry, which will help me to not get angry in the future, I'm getting more God consciousness. I'm getting more awe of Hashem. I'm becoming better and more disciplined in the ability to follow the laws and the rules that I was expected to follow by God. I become a better Jew towards Hashem by not getting angry at the other Jew or at myself or the situation or breaking the door or anything else. So what really happened here? In this world, we experience bad. We experience hardships in this world. We do. What do we know to be truth though? God is good and He only does good. So then how could I experience bad? Because one of the ways that God does good is He presents you an opportunity to make the right decision. And if God was to give you that same awe and respect and discipline outright, then you didn't do anything to deserve it. But if He can send it to you in the feeling of anger, and you break through that anger, don't act on it, suppress it, break it in your heart, in your mind, and connect to Hashem from a place of awe and respect, you just elevated. There is only good that comes down from heaven. Sometimes we experience it in the wrong way. There was a message coming down from heaven to Korach saying, everyone's holy. Every Jew is the holy of holies. We're all super special. We're all so blessed. We're all wealthy. We're all prophets. How did he interpret it in his mind? What story did he tell in his head before it went down to his heart? If that's the case, then why is my cousin taking the power? Who's he to take the power? In his own mind, he twisted a lofty light that came down from Hashem into that. And it couldn't have even been that lofty light that came down was telling him, go against Moshe. Why is he acting like he's holier than everybody else? Why is he putting himself on a pedestal? We're all holy. That could have even been a thought in his head. What should he have done? Translate it. Yeah, Moshe's holy and we're all holy and Moshe's the king. Hashem clearly picked him to be in charge. Look at all he's been doing. Just observe the situation. Tell the right story. Once you've told that story, it'll go down into your heart. And your heart will be aligned. And we see this is what happens. The heart of the house is the wife. Korach's wife, what did she tell him? Yeah, look, Moshe and Aaron, your cousins, look at all they're doing. It's not okay. You deserve a position. You should be in charge. She heated him up. She fueled the fire to make more machloket and more fire, and she destroyed her house. There was another person named On ben Pelet. On wanted to be part of Korach's camp. He was a smart guy, but he was a little bit influenced, right? He was easily influenced. He wanted to go join Korach. What happened? When they came to come pick him up, his wife didn't want him to join, respected Moshe Rabbeinu. She knew that this was the wrong thing to do. You're fighting God's appointed one, God's anointed one. It's not the right thing to do. What did she do? She took off her head covering, her scarf that she covered her head with, and she started to brush her hair at the opening of her gate. Meaning she, so to say, got undressed. She became naked. Yes, Jewish women that are married that uncover their head are naked. She removed her head covering and started brushing her hair so that when the rabbis would pass by, these 250 heads of the Sanhedrin that are coming to go against Moshe, they're so holy, they won't look at a woman. They're coming to fight Moshe, but we can't look at a woman. She knew that. So to protect her husband, to not get called by this group, she started to brush her hair, she started to do her hair. She built her house. Her wisdom built her house. As her husband now was not able to join the crew that was going against Moshe, that would all be sucked down alive into the ground. He stayed alive because his wife had the wisdom. His heart had the ability to say, the story that you're telling is not proper. I'm not going to get angry because this thing annoys you. I'm not going to let you go there. And really, that war happens in our mind. That battle happens in our mind. And if we get consumed by what we see, we'll fall into very dark pits. If we can retell the story in our mind before the emotion even arouses, Hashem's here. It wasn't him. It's not their fault. It's not even my fault. There is no I and there is no them. It's Enod Milvado. It's all Hashem. So who am I getting angry at? And if you still want to be angry at that moment, then fight with Hashem. Talk with Hashem. Don't get angry at people. Don't get angry at yourself. Don't be destructive in this world. It says a person that gets angry, all different types of Gehinnom are ruling all over them. Who wants that? Who wants that? Once we understand that every time I feel anger, really it's just an opportunity to have more discipline and more connection to Hashem and to see Hashem in my life more, then slowly but surely we'll work on that anger and it'll start to melt in our heart and to become more of Hashem, more discipline and more connection. Shabbat Shalom. May we all be blessed to not go against Moshe, to not do these things, to remember Zichu Torah Moshe, remember that this is the Torah of Moshe. Hashem put it in His name. It's His Torah. He is the way in, meaning humility and bitul to Hashem is the way into the Torah. And to not do that is to create reforms, to create new branches and new ways of thinking inside the Jewish people, to try to say that everyone's holy, there is no hierarchy, we could all be at the heads. And that's what Korach did, and the rabbis teach us. Korach, his name, Kuf, Reish, Chet, is an acronym for conservative, reformed, Haredi. These are not Jewish things. These are things of machloket, of destruction, of groups, of disagreements, of your camp versus my camp. That's a Korach mentality, that's not Moshe. And the Gemara talks about this machloket, this disagreement, and it says, this is called the disagreement of Korach and his people. Well, that's only one side. Where's the other side of the disagreement? There was no other side. Moshe was not at disagreement. Only one side came to make a problem. We're in the camp of Moshe. We don't make disagreements. We don't have disagreements. Hashem is one and that's all there is. Am Yisrael is one and we have one ruler. That's all there is. We're not trying to make camps and reforms of any Torahs or to conserve anything. We just want to be connected to Hashem. We don't even want to call ourselves Orthodox and Haredi, because those are only answers to the negative on the other side, to say, I'm not that. Still part of Korach's approach. We want to be unity. We want to find Hashem in everything, and we want to be connected. And to still know, even that we have a king and we have a hierarchy, we're all holy. It's just we all each have individual battles, and if we have individual battles, that means some of us are better at fighting than others, and some of us have conquered more land than others. The one who's done more, he deserves to be at the top. It's that simple. We are all holy. We can't get these things twisted. We have to know there's a hierarchy, there's a system, there's a process. God, Tzaddik, Kohen, Levi, Israel, it's all clear. It's been existing for a long time. And from the beginning of when it got established, we see here, what was the response when someone tried to challenge it, and someone tried to go against it? The whole entire earth opened up and swallowed them up. You think Moshe is lofty? I'll show you how far down you can go. Moshe is the humble. Al pnei adama. Moshe wrote in the Torah, I'm the most humble person in the face of the earth. Meaning, I'm on the face of the earth. My head is down. I'm on the ground already. That's not enough for you? So then let me put you down, says the Torah. Let me take you, Korach. You think that's a high level to be phased down on the ground, nullified to everybody? So yeah, Moshe is above you. You go down in the ground. Let Moshe be on the face of the ground. Humble. We don't want to be in these camps. We want to be in the camp of Moshe Rabbeinu. We want to keep Shabbat. Remember the Torah of Moshe. And Bezat Hashem, we're all praying for the day that Korach and his whole family and his sons will come out of the ground, rejoin Am Yisrael, be the tzaddik that he was meant to be, lead a new era of Kohanim and Levi'im singing in the Beit HaMikdash and helping us do Korbanot and connecting in the most true, authentic way possible. Amen, Kenei Ratzon.